Hello and welcome to the harvest season. My name is Al.
My name is Rochelle.
And we are here today to talk about farming games.
Woo. That went so much smoother than last time.
It did.
I'm significantly less sick than last time.
That is good, because being sick is less than ideal.
Yeah.
Especially playing video games pneumonia.
Yeah. I unfortunately am really sick of having walking pneumonia, so I don't know why that's unfortunately. That's very normal, I think.
It's unfortunate that you still have
it. Yes. For the record, listeners, I have not had walking pneumonia for 2 months now. We're recording this early.
Oh yeah, because this is going out
reasonably. I feel like I need to say that. So that the poor listeners don't think that I'm still dying of walking pneumonia like 100 years later. Like, by the time you hear this, I'm probably like halfway through my 5K training. Like,
it'll be even better if you're still a little bit sick by the next recording, which is in like, what, 4 days? But is then being done another 2 weeks after this one.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes, this is the time period where we have to record very close together for lots of episodes because I like to do stuff in the summer.
It's vacation season.
It is. So if there is news that is coming out and we don't talk about it, then sorry, we're in the past.
Feel free to angrily tweet at us about all of your issues.
all of their issues.
Yeah.
So anyway, standard format of an episode. We've got no feedback, but we'll talk about what we're playing. We've got some news, and then our main topic of today is going to be Littlewood.
Woo! I know y'all were really waiting for that. Everyone's very excited to hear us talk about Littlewood.
And that's not sarcastic this time.
You did a very good job saying the topic of the episode at the beginning of the episode. Which, by the way, I called it. I did not do. I told you so.
Yep, you did. Well done.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I could just cut that bit out.
No, you won't. You're going to leave
right.
it
I
in.
Won't, but I could. I could.
You could, but you won't. Because you're an honest fella.
You know, I would just need to bank on you forgetting or not. Or
oh,
not
I will not.
Listening to the episode. But still okaying it. Anyway, so
what have you been playing recently, honest fella?
Well, I have basically just been playing Littlewood, lots and lots of Littlewood. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
That's it. Well, believe it or not, I've been playing a heckin' lot of Littlewood. I've also been playing Pokemon Sun and Moon again, and Pokemon Ultra. Do you like how I had to pause and make myself say Sun and Moon instead of Sumo? I've been playing both of those at the same time. Have I ever told you how much I love Pokemon?
Yeah, I think you have.
I really, really love Pokemon. It's great. I love it a lot, and Alola is my favorite region. It's the best region. I have a lot to say about it, but this is a farming game podcast.
If you like Pokemon so much, maybe you should go on a Pokemon podcast.
I wish you could see my face right now.
Of course, this joke is kind of slightly out of date, unless you're going to be on another episode, because this will be coming like 3 weeks after the episode that you're on. But anyway.
We'll see. We'll see.
If there is anybody that listens that did not come from It's Super Effective, both me and Rochelle have been on It's Super Effective, the Pokemon podcast. So that's where the joke is. I like explaining jokes. It makes them funnier.
So I've been playing a lot of Pokemon. I have been thinking about a lot of Pokemon. I have been staying up at night thinking about Pokemon. I really love Littlewood. Let's go.
Cool. Shall we talk about the news?
Oh, you bet we should. This is the most exciting part of every episode.
We enjoy the news, and there is some this time.
Woo woo!
So, Rochelle, do you remember in the last episode we were talking about Bokumono Mineral Town's reunion?
Yeah, we were. Did that you? Aged quickly.
It was so ridiculously quickly. The confirmation came before I'd even edited the episode. What are you going to do?
This is the trouble of podcasting.
Yeah.
It's just I'm too lazy to edit and put it out the same day. So y'all get out-of-date news. This is why you don't come to us for your most recent up-to-date news.
So yeah, there has been a confirmation of the game coming to North America and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not called Mineral Town's Reunion. In English, it's called Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, i.e. just the same name as the game it's remaking. So I guess that confirms that it's a remake.
Mm-hmm. I wish we got a cute name like Mineral Town's Reunion. It's fine.
I like that name. It was nice, right? Because it was like, oh, it's doing it again. But whatever. Friends of Mineral Town is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
This is what they get for not hiring me to name all their games, write their obscure lore, etc.
All right. So say they come to you and say they want you to work for them, and the Pokemon Company also come to you and say they want you to work for them. Which one do you choose? Doing the same thing, just, you know, writing lore and thinking up names and strategies and stuff like that. Which one would you choose?
I'm going to have to go with the Pokemon Company.
Ooh.
Because there's just so much more lore to be had there. I feel like I would probably have a lot of dead time doing that job for, what's the name of the company? I know this off the top of my head. Marvelous, right? It's Marvelous, right?
Yep, it is Marvelous.
Okay, thanks. So, yeah. I feel like I'd have a lot of dead time doing that at Marvelous. There's only so much lore you can write about farming.
Well, it's like the characters, right? You're not writing lore about corn.
That's what you think.
Corn was used once by the ancient Egyptians to turn into paint for their cows. Hire me, Marvelous.
Don't hire Al, Marvelous. That was hilarious and wonderful, though. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that was a thing. Cool. Great.
Beautiful. Whereas Pokemon has just so much lore to be written. Like, and I think about it anyway all the time. Have you ever thought about whether or not Ultra Necrozma emits UV radiation?
I mean, yeah, because we've had this conversation.
Okay, but did you ever think about it before I started asking everybody because I can't stop thinking about it?
No.
Exactly.
I have to admit, it only came into my head because you asked. But it is interesting.
Anyway, I think about these things a lot. So if I could get paid to do it, I would be set. So wear sunscreen when you battle Ultra Necrozma. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, yeah, they've Friends of Mineral Town. They have announced a lot more stuff, including that you can choose to play as male or female protagonist in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
And there's a whole bunch of other things that were confirmed. What I find interesting is, so you seem to, the crops kind of seems like a hybrid of Trio of Towns and the other ones that they've traditionally done, where you've got just like a single square, because you mm-hmm. seem to be able to, you sow the seeds in a 3x3 square like you do in Trio of Towns, but when you're harvesting, you harvest individual ones,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
That is almost sort of kind of like later Rune Factory games. Sort of. But in later Rune Factory games, it functions by individual square, but every time you use a seed, it plants in a 9x9 grid of individual squares. So like one seed item is just 9 squares worth of seeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they've been influenced by whoever's been... It's a different company that makes Rune Factory, but...
Yeah, I mean, I quite like it because it kind of makes sense logically, right? Because you can throw a bunch of seeds over a larger area, but mm-hmm. you can't just go, hey, I'm just going to pick all these up with one go, right? You kind of have to go around them individually. So it kind of makes more sense logically.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Also, are some new pets, including cats, which, well, whatever, they're cats, they're not that exciting. Penguins. And
just wait.
And capybaras.
Okay, first of all, you can have capybaras in Trio of Towns.
Wait, can you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Second of all...
Fine, penguins then, Happy.
Penguins are...
We're just going to ignore the cat comment.
My arch nemesis. And third of all, did you just say that about cats?
Look, right, okay, they're cats, whatever. Great, well done.
How
penguins
are we even
are cool.
friends?
Because we can like different things and that's
okay. Fine. Have I ever told you about penguins?
No. Anyway, so you can turn the streetlights on and off in the game.
Which honestly sounds great. I love, personally, going out at night and turning off streetlights to traumatize.
Who doesn't want to be Dumbledore? I think that's everything that I find interesting. I don't know, have you seen anything interesting in it?
Items stack in your rucksack?
Yeah, I mean, that. Right, yeah, there's a whole bunch of kind of quality of life enhancements from the original, but it's sort of things you kind of expect in modern games, right? So if they hadn't changed that, it would probably be a bit disappointing.
There's some redesigns for the characters.
Yeah.
Apparently there's going to be new marriage candidates.
Ooh.
I'm angry that Japan gets great pre-order bonuses and we never do.
Yeah. A strawberry cow because, like, keychain.
I want that. I want badge pins of characters. That's my jam.
And a wearable duck costume.
Fine. I don't need pre-order bonuses for anything.
It's just a way to get you to spend more money.
Yeah, and I would do it. If they would give me something, take my money. Marvelous. Oh, well.
So that's Friends of Mineral Town.
Woo!
Exciting.
Very exciting. I'm contrary to my very tired lack of energy voice right now. I'm very, very excited about this game. I can't wait for you to play what is essentially an older game. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be great.
It's the best way to play an older game, right? Because you get all the mm-hmm. quality of life enhancements. You get it on the Switch. It looks much nicer. But it looks like kind of the storylines and the heart events and stuff like that are all very similar, if not exactly the same. So we can essentially play what is a game that you played previously that is on the list of games that I might have eventually played at some point, but let's be honest, probably wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And we can chat about that at some point. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Look forward to our episode on that when that comes out.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, it'll probably be in 2020 at some point because we don't even have a date for when it's coming out in English.
Eventually, I'm sure.
But at least we got confirmation that it is coming in English. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Did you know that My Time at Portia is on the Xbox Game Pass now?
No, because I don't have an Xbox, but that's awesome.
Neither do I. But yeah.
I don't know what it means.
It's a subscription service where you get a bunch of games for free. Well, not for free. You get a bunch of games for paying the monthly cost.
For subscribing.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's something like 15 quid or something like that. And you get loads of games. You get basically all of the Microsoft first party games. And you get a whole bunch of third party ones, including now My Time at Portia.
Whoop whoop, go play it.
Yeah, so if you've got an Xbox and you've got Xbox Game Pass and you don't have My Time at Portia yet and you want to, go play it.
I heard that.
Look.
You almost said it my way.
I'm tired.
It's a very tired day. It's very hot for both of us.
I'm melting.
I am sweating buckets. I don't have air conditioning. I turned off my fan to record this. I would die for how hot it is there. It's like 20 degrees cooler for you. I'm jelly beans.
That's Fahrenheit, obviously, just in case people are thinking yes. It's actually 20 degrees Celsius cooler, because that would be...
That's a big difference. I would be really unhappy if it was 20 degrees Celsius colder here. I would probably be crying.
I would have no legitimate reason to complain if it was, what, 14? Yeah, no, that sounds nice. I'd like 14 right now, please.
14 is so cold. You don't know. Perfect. Okay, anyway, so you know what else is coming?
Winter? I don't even watch Game of Thrones.
I wish you could see my face right now. Okay, so no. I mean, philosophically, winter is always coming, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We are not a Game of Thrones podcast. We're also not a weather podcast.
Well, no, but farming games do generally have seasons.
Okay, so winter in someone's farming game somewhere is coming, but also Forager on the Switch?
Forager, woo, on the Switch. Yeah, it's coming out on the 30th of July.
That's so soon.
Well, that's a good question, actually. That will be in less than a week when this episode comes out.
Oh, man, are y'all hyped to buy this? Because I'm hyped to buy this. Unlike Story of Seasons, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to get a physical copy for my Switch because I love physical copies. And the physical copies come with stickers and a poster. And honestly, this is all I could ever ask for. Do you know how much I love stickers?
Yes.
Nice. I love stickers.
I will probably not buy the physical copy because I don't think the physical copy is coming to Europe. At least I haven't seen anything about that.
I mean, the Switch isn't region locked, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm not importing a physical game. I'm just going to buy on the eShop. Sorry. Like, oh, come on. It just, everything, whenever you import anything from America, it always ends up costing twice the price because of import taxes and shipping and everything. I bought a hoodie, right? And this hoodie was like £30. And I'm like, okay, that's not a cheap hoodie, but you know what? £30, it's okay for a hoodie. And then they like slapped on 12 quid in postage. And I'm like, oh, okay, 42 quid. Right. It's not cheap. It's definitely not cheap. And it's more expensive than I wanted. But you know what? It's not horrific at this point. And then it arrived, or it was meant to arrive, and I got this thing through the post, and it was, oh, hey, you need to pay customs on this. And I'm like, oh, it's customs as well. And the customs wasn't much. It was only like £4 or £5 or something like that. But then they do this really annoying thing where they then charge you an £8 admin fee as well. And I was like, that is a lot of money. So I ended up spending £60. It literally doubled in price from what I thought I was originally paying. Just
sorry, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to buy it on the eShop.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to say, next time, talk to me. I have secrets. I work in the shipping industry. I specifically work in international shipping. Did you know that?
I did.
I'll tell you all my secrets, but not on the podcast.
And they're all perfectly legitimate secrets.
Yeah. No, they are.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, Forager's coming out on Switch on the 30th of July. I like it. It's a good game. I recommend it.
Buy it, play it, tell us how you feel.
Well, let's put it this way. I bought it on Steam, and I will probably be buying it on Switch as well, because it's that good. So.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to play it on your new Nintendo Switch Lite?
No.
Okay.
I am going to play it on my original day one Switch. Are you going to play it on your new Nintendo Switch Lite?
No, because it won't be out by then, but I'm really excited about the Nintendo Switch Lite. As a handheld console person, as someone who literally can't remember the last time I docked my Switch, I'm very excited.
It just makes me sad thinking about that dock just sitting there not being used.
I know, and I made so much effort to make it cute. It's got stickers on it. It has like a Popplio and a Palmon and a little ghost in a top hat. Went through so much effort and then I never use it. I think it might be in the living room. I'm genuinely not sure. Which says a lot about how much about how I use it.
Yeah, I mean, I do tend to use mine more often than not on handheld, because obviously most of my gaming I tend to do on the train. But I do certainly use it docked quite a bit, especially for like gatherings of people and stuff like that. So I have the standard dock in my living room, and I also have a third-party dock, which is just a small dongle, essentially, that I guess was designed for laptops, but works perfectly fine with the Switch. So I use that, and I carry that around in my portable Switch bag, which can fit everything in it that I need, which is good.
Nice. I'm going to get the yellow one, because I... Yellow is half of my favorite colors, and I'm very, very excited. I'm super, super into yellow right now. I'm so excited. I'm going to get this, and then my old one is going to be inherited by my friend. And then we're going to play Pokemon together. Cool. Have you seen the new Pokemon?
I have. They are very Pokemon-y.
I'm so excited. You can't see it right now, but I'm making very excited hand motions. This is a farming podcast. Farming games! Woo!
Yeah, woo! That's the news.
I hope you enjoyed that news. I hope you appreciate how aggressively out of date it probably is.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about Littlewood. Woo!
Woo!
So, oh yeah, one thing I didn't write in the notes, but we should probably mention. We got Littlewood codes for free from Sean, the developer of Littlewood. So thank you very much to Sean for that. That is very kind of you. I'm certainly planning to buy it on Switch when it comes out. I don't know about you, Rochelle.
Oh,
but
most
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I thought you might do.
I mean, look at us, though. We're like professional podcasters doing reviews with review copies.
It's crazy. Ugh. So thank you very much to Sean for that. That was very kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
The game is currently out on Steam in early access. We'll come back to that in a minute. It's coming out to Switch sometime in the next couple of months. There's obviously not a date on that, but when I was talking to Sean, he said that it would be coming out in the next 2 to 3 months, something like that. So I presume it will probably come out once kind of all the content is done on the PC version, because it's obviously a lot more difficult to update a game on the Switch eShop than it is to do it on Steam, so you probably don't want to be going, you know, weekly updates to the Switch. Yeah. So bear in mind that it is pre-release, obviously. There is a bunch of missing content at this point in time, mostly dialogue and the kind of calendar events. But the base game is there. I've not found any other than the calendar events. I've not found any missing functionality. It's mostly there. It's just, you know, dialogue and events. So if you really want to just play through the game once and that's that, probably don't buy it yet until that's finished, because there's basically only one calendar event so far, you know, a bunch of stuff missing with dialogue and stuff, unless there's one that you know of that's implemented that I've just not reached yet.
We'll get there.
Okay, cool. So I think that's all of the words.
Prerequisite
up front.
Information.
Yeah, sure, that works.
It's not done yet. It's not out yet, but it's really good so far, and we're going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, should we start off with, like, first initial thoughts and how you feel about the game?
My initial thoughts are I love this game and I'm very excited.
Cool.
How about you?
That was much shorter than I expected, but yeah, pretty much the same. I think this has the potential to be one of the best farming games that I've played.
Agreed.
Which I know doesn't really mean much because I've only played like five of them.
It doesn't mean much coming from you. It means a lot when I say I agree.
Yeah. Like, I legitimately think that this might be the most fun I've had playing a farming game, and it's not done yet.
And it's not done yet. So I will say, as an initial thought, I'm very impressed with like how much it's hooked me, even though it's not done. Like, to the extent that like when I run into something that isn't completed, because in the game, as you're playing it through in early access, you can go through just fine. You don't get tripped up on anything. It's just occasionally you run into a sign that's like, this content's coming soon.
Yeah.
And I get genuinely excited every time I see one of those. I'm like, oh, there's going to be more stuff. This is going to be so great.
Yeah. Certainly when I see something like that, it's not like, oh, that's a shame, I can't see that now. That's oh, great, I can see that the next time I play through the game.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. I'm excited, and it's not even done yet.
It's not even done yet.
It's not even done yet.
So, speaking of the hooking into the game, shall we start off with the tutorial? Because that is always the bit that kills me to start with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you load up a game, you're like, right, I'm going to do this. And then you go in and you set up your name, you do the character customization, you're like, right, okay, let's play the game. And then you've got like half an hour of tutorial and cutscenes and all that sort of stuff. That's not here, right? So there is obviously tutorial and it does tell you how to do things and there are some cutscenes, but it's just the right amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, hey, here's the very small backstory. If you don't remember from previously, I was telling you, you're basically the hero of a land that was under the dark. Is it the Dark Wizard? Is that
it's
what
the
it
Dark
was,
Wizard?
What they were called?
The Dark Wizard had taken over the land of Solemn, I believe, and
Solemn. Yes, that's what it is.
You defeat the Dark Wizard. And you lose all your memories, and then the game starts.
Yeah.
As in,
and so there's a
you don't see a cutscene of that. It just happened.
No.
You actually just start straight up just waking up in a room, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, not even your own room.
Not even your own room. But it's got the controls off to the side. So it tells you how to move and stuff.
Nice touch.
Since we're talking
and
about tutorial.
It's there if you ever go back, if you go back in until, I think it moves away once you actually change Willow's house. But until that point, I think they're always there.
I think it's there forever.
Oh yeah. No, it's still, I just walked in. Yeah, it's still there.
It's there forever.
That's nice.
Yeah. So tutorial wise, just telling you how to do stuff on the screen straight up. You can spend as much or as little time as you want. It doesn't matter. And then you walk out and you meet Willow, who's like, oh, you don't remember anything. Well, you saved the world.
Yeah. And that's that. That's all the backstory you get to start with.
Yeah.
Which is, I like.
I mean, you're also told that, like, you saved the world and now everybody wants to rebuild everything. You want to hang out here in this little town and help us rebuild it? And that's what you do. You get to name your town. I named mine Littlewood because I...
Nice and original there.
You're welcome. what did you name yours?
I actually have three saves because I saw that the save file was just a JSON file, so I decided to start editing it and see what that does. But the main save file that I have, I called the town Owlville.
Owlville. That's cute.
I have very little imagination as well, but I didn't feel I could just call it Littlewood. So, Owlville it was.
That's okay. I got you beat. One of my favorite things. So, the tutorial is basically like, hey, let's get started working on this town. Here's the thing. Please build me a house. Like, actually, I think you're supposed to build yourself a house.
Yeah, yeah. You build your own house first because you wake up in Willow's house and that's the only building around, and then you need to build your own house. And then I think Dalton comes up and asks for his house to be built. And then it, yeah, just builds up from there and stuff, which is really great. I love how they do that because it's not, hey, here's a bunch of stuff you need to do all at once. Here's how you farm and here's how you build and here's animals and here's this and here's that. You don't have to care about all that just now, right? Because you're not going to do any of that yet. And it just tells you what you care about at that point and kind of builds up. And when you need to learn something, it tells you about it, which I really, really like. Like, this, I think, is a really good way of doing a tutorial. And yeah, I like it.
Agreed. It's my favorite method of doing a tutorial, which is no timeline, no pressure. If you figure it out on your own, you're golden. You can still do stuff. But whenever you happen to run into something you haven't done before, it'll give you a bit of information.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't leave you hanging. It doesn't keep you stuck. But it also doesn't restrict you if you already know what you're doing. Perfect.
Yeah.
So...
sorry, I got distracted by playing the game again because I got it
away.
In front of me.
Put it away.
Oopsie. But it's so good.
I know, it's so good. I put so many hours in so far.
Oh, Laura wants to hang out with me while we catch four fish.
Oh, dude, I want to record a podcast with you for plus 35% friendship level. So one of the other things you get to do, and I know this is just a really small thing, but I found it to be very exciting, is that you also, one of the things you do is you build your own little office, and then you get to choose a title.
Yeah.
What's your title, Al?
Well, my title is Mayor because...
you're so original.
I had lost all of my creative energy in creating Alville. So I went with Mayor.
I saved.
I didn't think there was enough room for Supreme Leader, so...
Well, there's enough room for my entire name properly spelled, which, let me tell you, so exciting. You don't even know. I'm so used to never being able to use my name in anything. I used all my creative energy, and I'm the official friend of Littlewood. So, and then I went online, and people are coming up with like really fun, crazy things. And I'm like, I'm so disappointed in myself, but that's okay. I have walking pneumonia, not creativity pneumonia.
Thinking up a title.
Not thinking up a good title for my new job pneumonia.
How many podcasts is this joke going to work for?
It's going to work till I'm better.
In like a month's time, people will be like making pneumonia jokes on Twitter and stuff. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it? Like a month ago.
Right? Oh, dear. Do you want to talk about the actual gameplay?
Yeah, let's do that. So I guess... you know, there's a bunch of stuff that's similar to other farming games and there's a bunch of stuff that's different. And I guess the biggest thing that is different about this game is that it's basically a full sandbox game, right? So you've got, for those who don't know what sandbox means, it basically means you can control the environment. So most farming games, at least ones that I've played, is you have your little area where you can choose what, you know, what you build and where things go and stuff like that.
Your farm,
but then
usually.
The rest of the village, yeah, but the rest of the village is set and that's how it is, and there's nothing you can do about that. But in this one, you can control where all the buildings go, including everybody's house. You can even, you know, create lakes, you can raise the ground up,
make hills,
you can make hills. I think there's only four different levels, sadly. I really wanted like a really high hill with my house on the top. But maybe one day they'll add that. But yeah, there's four different levels. So there's lake, the just ground, hill level one, and then hill level two, which is really fun. So you can make some really cool different ways of getting around and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess that's probably the biggest thing that is different about this game.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I love it. It's really cute. It has really cute Game Boy aesthetics. So you can control your environment in just one big building menu. So like,
yeah,
you can make your lakes or hills, but you can also build buildings, build buildings.
Trees.
Other types of buildings. You can move things around. You also farm from that menu, like plant crops and stuff.
Yeah. I guess that's the other thing is very different is how you do the farming. So yeah, do you want to talk about that, how that works?
Yeah. So like rather than say most of the farming games we've talked about so far where you go to a store, you buy some seeds, you till the ground, you plant the seeds, you water the seeds. The way it works in this game is in the build menu, you plant like you create like specific tilled field squares. And then from the build menu, you can take a crop. So let's say you have a carrot. You can plant a carrot in those tilled fields, or you can plop down a fruit tree or something from the build menu. And then once you exit the build menu, it's just there. I kind of enjoy and think it's interesting, rather than having, say, like particular seasonal crops that rotate out every season, you just have crops and they just grow continuously for the whole year. They're not season restricted or anything, which at first I thought was weird, but I actually kind of enjoy.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously, you know, what you'd normally need to do is like, you know, you plant a seed, you grow it, you either sell it or you turn it into seeds or you buy new seeds, you plant them. And then obviously, as you say, you know, things will rotate through the seasons. So I guess, you know, if what you like about a farming game is kind of being more realistic, not that those farming games are realistic, but they're obviously less realistic, right? This is very different from that. I like it as well because there's something quite nice about not having to kind of consider about seeds and stuff like that. And you can just pick up a carrot and either plant it in another spot if you've got enough spots, or sell it, or, you know, turn it into food. Mm-hmm. But the other nice thing as well is if you decide, oh, I don't want to grow that carrot anymore, I want to grow cabbage instead. When you go into the build menu and you get rid of it, you get carrot back.
Mm-hmm.
So like nothing is ever wasted in this game.
And I love it. I actually kind of really love that. I guess we should mention that you start out only able to plant a limited number of crops. And part of the function of being mayor slash friend slash whatever of your town is that every week you can essentially buy upgrades for your town from your office. And so you can buy more crop spaces. You can buy more tree spaces. So you can't just go and plant an intricate wheat maze, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that makes it so it paces the game well. So you can't just do everything from the top and then get bored with it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, all these games have to have a restriction to stop you just being able to go like all over the place and like get everything straight away. And there needs to, you know, they want to put some sort of challenge into it. And, you know, the traditional way by doing that is kind of very limiting what you get out of the ground and having to, you know, turn it into seeds or buy more and plant it again. Whereas obviously this is just a different way of restricting that. And it kind of feels to me like obviously you can't really compare them, right? Because some people prefer one, some will prefer the other. And some people will be like, I like them both just in different, you know, circumstances. Mm-hmm. But personally, I think I prefer this way of doing it because I don't know why. I guess I don't really have to have a reason, do I?
No,
I prefer this. I like it.
I like it is a perfectly good justification.
Cool.
And I agree.
Good.
There's a really fun just variety of crops. I like that most of them have silly names.
Oh, yeah. It was a
motato.
Motato and potato.
Potato and potato.
Yeah.
And
then there's
goop.
I can't remember any of them.
Goop melons and
oh, yeah.
Crescent moons and I love the crops are just so fun and whimsical, and then there's just like carrots and corn.
Oh, the kakumba as well, which is like a cucumber type thing. Mm-hmm. Kakumba. Yeah.
And like a payapa. Payapa.
Papayapa.
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 I presume it's based on papaya.
Probably.
Papayapa. Or papayapa.
Papayapa.
Something like that.
Papayapa. Words are hard.
Sounds good.
That's a question to ask. How do you pronounce every crop? I really love it. It's very cute. The farming is a little bit more simple in this. I would say on the scale of complexity in farming games, with like Farm Simulator being on one end and Stardew Valley being on the other end, this is maybe slightly below Stardew Valley, but that's not bad. I actually like it. I think it's very smooth. I like it a lot. It's fulfilling. It's cute. All the crops look really cute. I know I say this a lot, and aesthetics aren't the only thing that matters, but I love the aesthetics in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, you know, kind of probably a bit nostalgia for both of us, because we obviously grew up playing kind of Game Boy Advance games. And they all had this kind of, style of graphics. Obviously this is, you know, more up to date, more modern, looks much nicer. You blow up a Game Boy game to 1080p and it would look horrific. So, you know, obviously it's much better than that, but it's the same sort of aesthetics, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, something about that probably tickles the nostalgia part of our brains. But equally, I'm sure it's great for people who haven't. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to find out.
It is definitely probably partially nostalgia, but it's also definitely part genuine good design. Like, it's just good art design.
Yeah, I think this is also kind of, we're going to go back again to me preferring 2D games, right? But I think this is a really good example of, you know, realistically, one person couldn't make a 3D game this good on their own. Right, that it just wouldn't happen. But this game made by one person can be really smooth, really nice to play, and just really enjoyable, and have really nice graphics, all because it's 2D. It's much less complicated, but it's no less fulfilling and no less enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Things don't have to be aggressively complicated and intricate to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So you build things, you farm things. Yeah. You do have to have supplies to build things with. And I think the two major, the two basic components are wood and stone.
I think they refer to all the stone stuff as ore. So I think stone is technically ore.
Okay.
Stone is technically ore in the game. So
ore and wood.
Probably doesn't massively matter, but obviously the other ones aren't technically stone, but I'll shut up.
It's fine.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just teasing.
I'm actually, stone is the is only refers to one of the three ores in the game.
Something just about the combination of your accent and an actually dude is so great. Oh, that was hilarious. Okay. So
I think it makes it more obvious that it's not serious.
It does. It's great. So you mine stones to get ore. You chop down trees to get wood. I particularly love the aesthetics of like chopping down trees.
Yeah. I can't get over this, Rochelle. There's something so satisfying about chopping down a tree and not finishing but still getting wood.
Yes. So
I just
for the listeners. So depending on the size of your tree, you can chop it down like 2 to 4 times, 2 to 4 chops for 2 to 4 pieces of wood. And every time you chop it, it just physically gets smaller. It's very cute.
It's great.
Until it goes down to being a stump. And you can either chop the stump for another piece of wood, or you can just leave it there and it will grow back.
Hold
and I think
up.
That's wonderful and amazing.
Hold up. the stumps grow back. I should have left some stumps in my town.
Yeah? Did you not know?
I did not know. I just cut all the trees.
Oh my gosh, Al!
Oh no!
Oh my gosh, Al!
What have I done?
What have you done? Why aren't you listening? I'm pretty sure Dudley tells you that.
Oh, I don't listen to Dudley.
Oh my gosh, Al! Why do you do these things you do?
I don't know. I mean, in the back of my mind, I kind of was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if these grew back after you cut them down? But I was like, oh, no, that won't be how it is. But it is. Of course it is.
That is how it is. Okay. So you learned something new today.
Yeah, I did. That's why we do this, so we can learn things.
Yep. So in your town, those things are finite resources. You can chop down all your trees and have no more trees. You can... there's not a ton of ore in your town, although there's a building you can build that will just continuously spawn ore.
Yes.
Within your town, but you can leave town and go to different areas in the cute little world. So there's like a cave where you can go mining. There's a forest where you can go chop down wood.
And you get stolen by the whirlybugs.
Yeah, you want to talk the whirlybugs?
Well, we may as well. We're talking about the endless forest, so we may as well. Unless you wanted to finish your thought process first.
No, tell me about your whirlybug feels.
I love hate them. Right?
You treasure planet them. Okay.
There's something so I saw a gif of these before the game came out, because I've been following Sean on Twitter for quite a while.
Gif.
Yes, that's what I said.
You said gif. Okay.
I said gif.
No, I'm just making a mental note.
Oh, right. Are you just trying to figure out who says what?
Yeah,
I just think it's fun. An animation on Twitter, because it may well not have been a graphics interchange format file. See what I did there?
Beautiful. So you say GIF. For the record, listeners, I say JIF, and yeah, we're all correct.
I'm sure we've had this discussion before.
Have we on the podcast?
I'm sure we have.
Do the listeners know that I prefer the pronunciation JIF?
Well, I've no idea whether it actually got into a podcast, but we've definitely talked about it while recording a podcast.
Well, we could leave it in this time. You say GIF, I say JIF. Some people say JIF. Sorry, I don't know why that was so hard for me to say. I'm just like, yeah, some people say JIF. And we're all correct. Don't fight me.
I wasn't going to.
Okay. So
I know better than that now.
You saw JIF of the Whirlybugs.
Look, I am a recovering corrector, okay? It's
you're getting
I've improved, but it's a hard life.
I'm wearing you down real slowly.
It's like I'll say something at work and I'll be like, why do I do these things?
Perfect.
Admitting there's a problem is the first step to solving it.
I'm proud of you.
So I saw an animation of the Whirlybugs before the game came out, like just after Sean had implemented them, I think, and was utterly terrified by it. I had no idea what it was because there was no explanation, right? It was just, oh, I did this. And I was like, why would you do that?
So for the listeners, when you go to the Endless Forest, I need to work on my enunciation. So when you go to the Endless Forest, it has like a main area. And to get into the actual forest, you go up to these little bugs that look kind of like Joltix. And... I can't not make a Pokemon reference. What is wrong with me? You go up to these little bugs and they like sprout propellers out of their butts, and then they like grab you by your head and lift you into the sky.
By your head.
By your head.
By your head.
It's really cute and clearly disturbs Al.
So terrifying, right? So I saw this on Twitter. Sean just posted it and was like, here, I did this. And I was like, I don't know what this is or why it exists. Or why would you ever implement this? And was just, I presumed it was some like monster that was trying to kill you. And I was like, this is terrifying. But no, they're very friendly. They're very useful.
They just helping you get around the forest.
They help you get around the forest. So yeah, that's a thing.
There's not monsters in the world because you defeated the dark wizard and everything's safe now. That's not true.
Yeah.
There are some monsters. There's one type of monster. It's only in the mines and it's not horribly threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if it hits you, you just get kicked out of the mine and you can't go back in that day.
Yes. Well, with both the forest and the mine, it's just the function of how they work is you can only go in once a day. So that's your limitation. I believe the maps are randomly spawned. So you'll get like different shapes and different spawns of like ores and wood and stuff every single day.
Yeah. If you have some energy.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about in a minute. So you can build things, you can farm things, you can hunt for supplies to build and farm things. You can go fishing. Do you want to talk about fishing?
Yeah, I guess fishing is not that complicated, but it's quite nice. So you get a fishing rod and you fish. So you have to throw the fishing rod to within 2 squares of the fish, but crucially, and I found this out the hard way, not on the square the fish is in, because the fish just disappears. I think you scare it off if you do it right on the fish.
Al, first of all, that's correct. And second of all, listen to Dudley. He tells you these things.
Look, I don't got time to listen to Dudley, okay? I've got fish to catch.
But you and Dudley, he clearly used to be like your grandpa mentor type character.
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe you don't listen to Dudley. He's such a sweet old man.
He is. I'm giving him the things he wants, okay? I'm making his life comfortable.
You were making his life physically comfortable.
Yeah.
And then
we hang out occasionally, right?
Denying I take him fishing. Him friendship and emotional comfort.
I hang out with him and take him fishing.
Wrong fishing.
No, not wrong fishing, because I know how to do it now.
Now?
Yes.
Could have known from the beginning.
So you can't throw it on the fish. You have to throw it within 2 squares of the fish. And then the fish will come to you and you'll see some splashing and you press A and you catch it. Like a fishing works. There are lots of fish. There are kind of some fish that you can only get in specific other areas. So the Endless Forest and the whatever it's called, cavern, cave thing.
I can't look it up. I'm not pulling it up on my laptop because I'm focused.
Oh, it's autumn. Yay, I got to autumn.
Yay.
It's all very
What's
orange.
What's it called?
The Dust Cavern.
Dust Cavern. So that's fishing. You can also catch bugs, which you just have a net and there's little, they look like little Zelda fairies and then you catch them.
Yeah. Although sometimes it turns out to be a feather.
Sometimes it turns out to be a petal.
Or
sometimes it turns out to actually be a fairy.
Yeah. Or what was it called? A something wasp, a beetle wasp or something terrifying.
Yes. Or sometimes it turns out to be dark matter.
Oh, you can get dark matter that way, can you?
Nice. You can in the cave,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
Like with fish, there are specific bugs you can catch in the cave in the forest. It's very fun. I think it should be noted. I believe you have 4 tools?
Let's see. So pickaxe, axe, fishing rod, net, glove, 5.
Glove for gathering. And you have 5 tools and you don't have to swap between them. You just use the appropriate tool.
Yes. It's perfect.
In any given situation.
I love it.
which it's I love. Amazing.
It's good.
It's very good. It's very smooth and streamlined and easy. It's easy and comfy to play.
Shorts.
Thanks. Jokes are funnier when you explain them.
That's why they call me the joke explainer. That's my name.
I wish you could see my face right now. Okay. So that's kind of like the basic building blocks. You can earn money. You can build a little marketplace where you can sell things. You can build a restaurant where you can cook food and sell the food. You can build, oh my gosh, this is so important. You can build a museum and donate things to your museum, which is one of my favorite activities to do in any video game ever. And
it's so satisfying.
It's so satisfying. And then all of the buildings and things you can upgrade. And once you upgrade your museum enough, you can actually just acquire passive income from that. There's a map you can unlock. So you have the forest and the cave, and you can unlock the port city of DeLuca, where they have shops and stuff.
They got a casino.
You can unlock a... They do have a casino. My tip for you is to actually go to the casino every week. It resets on Saturdays. Go every week. Don't make my mistakes.
And it's a great casino because you always win something.
Mm-hmm. You never lose.
Which is how they get around the age rating issue.
Yeah.
It's not technically gambling.
There's also like a library, which I believe has not been made yet, but it's there.
You can
there.
Go to it. And it just says it's not implemented yet. So
this content is still under construction.
Yeah.
There's one more map space. I have not gotten there yet, so I don't know what's there. Sorry.
No, I presume that I did have the name of it in front of me, but I lost it. I walked away from it.
Well, fine.
It is the Master Forge.
I can't wait to see what that is.
Yeah.
So, like farming games, you have four seasons, and each season has 28 days in this. And that's how time passes. There's holidays and festivals, most of which I believe have not been made yet. I have experienced a couple of them. I don't.
Yeah.
Have you
so the first
any?
One is the is to do with dark matter. I didn't quite manage to do it because I didn't have enough energy to get enough dark matter at that point. But I think you can buy. I think it was the first
was
one
that?
In spring. It was like the 10th of spring or something like that.
I'm wondering if I just missed that entirely.
Possibly.
Or if it was updated after I had played past the 10th of spring.
Oh, it could have been. It could have come in the last update. That's possible. Because I mean, I only did that this week.
Yeah. I didn't experience anything until year two. But the ones I did in year two so far were very fun. There was one that was just like, it's farming day. You get extra experience for farming today. And so I did. I farmed. And there was one where it was like, oh my gosh, there's chickens all over. You have to collect the chickens and you get points. Oh my gosh, it was great.
Nice. Nice. So there are different ones in different years then, I guess. Are you in summer year two just now, or have you gone further?
Yes.
You're in summer. Because I've not come across them. So they must just be year two specific things, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
More content.
Yeah. And so the way that I adore the way that time passes in this game.
Yeah.
So rather than having like a continuously running clock like you normally do, the way it passes is based on how many actions you take. So you essentially have like a little energy bar, and every action you do uses X amount of energy. And as you fill up your bar of energy used, the day passes and eventually it becomes night, and you know, I probably should stop doing things soon, until you either go to bed or you use all your energy and pass out.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, obviously most games have a time and an energy element to it, whereas this one you don't really have to pay attention to both. You just have to pay attention to one, which is quite nice. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, like, if you, like, leave the game running accidentally and you go and go to the toilet or whatever and you come back, no time has passed, right? Because you've not done anything, mm-hmm. which is really nice. So you don't end up accidentally passing out.
Yes.
It also means that you can essentially really quickly speed run this game if you want, right? Without actually doing any less. So mm-hmm. one of the things about the time-based farming game is that each day is this amount of time unless you go to bed early, right? Or mm-hmm. unless there's an event or something like that. And you either fill all that 15 minutes or whatever it is with time, with doing stuff, or you go to bed and waste some of the time. And then you might get into the point where you don't have enough energy, but you're still ages through the day and it's too early in the game, so you've not really got your handle on food yet. So you end up just eating a bunch of apples or whatever. And it's just that I find quite a frustrating mechanic. Whereas in this one, if you want it, you can just like go into the cavern, cut down 20 trees, and that's it. Your day's done. You go back to bed and you're done. And you're not wasting any time in the day and you're still getting a whole bunch of useful stuff done. But because you're doing it all at once, you're getting through the day really quickly if you want to, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's also particularly good for, like, my fellow mental health people will understand this, of just, like, for example, having depression and having really bad brain fog, and so your brain just can't go super fast. Being able to have something that doesn't require you to think very quickly or like, have the pressure of like you're running out of time, you better do something, is super nice and comforting. It's why I generally like a lot of like turn-based games, because you can take your time, you can think about it, you can figure it out and not be penalized for that. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love turn-based games. Because you don't need
Me
fast reactions.
Too. Yeah. Because while it can be very fun to play like real-time games that require like dexterity and quick reaction times, sometimes you're tired and your brain just can't do that. And it is frustrating to be penalized because your brain is tired.
Yeah.
So I really love and appreciate this function in this game. I think it's a very well-designed thing and it's great. It's great and I love it.
Yeah. Agreed. I will say one thing is that I was a bit confused to start with. I don't know whether I missed some dialogue. You're probably going to tell me I should have been listening, but I didn't notice anything explaining how that worked. And so I was just a little bit confused because obviously being so different from other games, I was looking for a timer and I couldn't see it. And I was confused about the health bar and what that actually referred to. Mm-hmm. But it didn't take me too long. And now that I've got it. I don't know whether it needed just a little bit of explanation or something like that. It's hard to do because obviously if you have too many things, then you end up in the tutorial hell and it's just so much stuff to take in. Or you have people like me who ignore what people are actually telling you anyway. It's just, yeah.
You'll be happy to know. I don't think you were told that, or if you were, I don't remember.
Okay.
I also had a similar problem. I think I picked it up by like day two or three, though.
Yeah, it definitely didn't take me long. I'd figured it out by day four, but
visually obvious and easy to see. You just have to figure out what it means.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very obvious bar. I knew it was something to do with that bar. I just didn't know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing as well is that your stamina, is affected by most things except walking and building, basically. So even talking to people uses up your stamina, which I guess is another thing which is not common. That doesn't generally use up stamina in other farming games.
But I love that. Yeah. Actually, this is one of my favorite things about the design of this, because again, like, as someone with like depression, as someone who is an introvert, like, just anything that acknowledges the energy it takes to talk to another human being, I love it.
It'd be really interesting, and this probably completely changes the dynamic of the game, but it'd be really interesting if you could choose a different personality for that, and actually with some people, it rejuvenates them, because, like, you know, some people are extroverts, I believe. And
you're like, I think maybe, I'm not sure. I've never met one.
There are people who claim to be, I don't believe that it can actually exist. But apparently, for them, talking to people can actually make them more energized and stuff. So it'd be a really interesting way. But then here's the thing. If you did that, why would you ever choose the introvert? There needs to be a positive to that as well. So maybe you can like go sit in the corner in your house and regenerate some energy or something. I'm probably overthinking this. But yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think it's good. I like it a lot. It doesn't leave you entirely out in the cold. Like, once you get towards the end of your energy meter / time meter, like, there are visual and audio clues. So, visually, everything darkens. It becomes nighttime. Auditorily? What's the word audibly? There? Audibly, thank you. Audibly, the music changes to like a nighttime music. So like there are like indications to kind of like help you figure it out.
And then you get told to go to bed.
And then if you don't go to bed and you just keep going, you pass out and you wake up exactly where you left off.
Yeah.
But you have like a good chunk, it's like an eighth or something. Just over an eighth of your, maybe like 3/8 of your energy bar. Already used up because you didn't sleep well because you fell asleep in the mines.
Yeah.
So.
Not good.
Which is not as comfy as your house, apparently.
Definitely not.
Interacting with villagers is fun. There's a very cute cast of villagers. I love them. I love them so much.
They are great.
So you can talk to people. You can hang out with people. Don't make my mistakes. Hang out with somebody every day. You get bonuses. You get bonuses in friendship with them. You get, they'll pick up money for you sometimes. It's a win-win, mutually beneficial relationship.
Surprisingly often they find the money as well, right? Because,
yes.
You know, just when I just started, I was just like, you know what? I'll try this hanging out, see what it is. And I was like, oh, Willow found some money. Cool. I wonder how often that happens. And like, I'm now at the point where I'm like, actually, I have quite a lot of money. And the only difference I've made is I'm now hanging out with Willow doing basically everything, which is
cool.
Are
you only hanging out with Willow?
At this point in time, yeah. I want to see what happens at higher friendship levels and stuff like that. Probably in the next run through, I'll spread it out a bit more.
Okay.
Get to know some more characters.
Yes. Do. Well, you're also, I've played about a year more than you have.
Yeah.
Haven't I? So you probably haven't unlocked a lot of villagers. You do unlock villagers as it goes. So you start with Willow and Dalton, who were apparently your friends on your adventures defeating the Dark Wizard. Dalton's cute. He's kind of silly and ditzy. And every now and then he's just like, oh man, remember that time when we did that really cool thing? And I'm like, Dalton, sweetheart, I do not. I did not the last 15 times. But you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm and I like that you're a good friend. You're great.
And it'll just be talking to you while eating a slime apple as well.
It's so, I love Dalton. I think he's so cute and charming. And then you have Willow, who is the first person you talk to, and she apparently also went on adventures with you. And I don't think you don't have this dialogue yet because you don't even listen to Dudley. But one of my favorite things is I was talking to Dudley the other day and he was like, oh, yeah, you and Willow seem to be getting along really great. It's a shame you can't remember the spark the two of you used to have. And then he's like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I tell you, Willow doesn't, she's not subtle. Right?
No, she's not.
She keeps saying similar things. Deadly. Yeah.
Yeah. Willow's clearly got a crush on you, regardless of your gender. You should see the face I'm making right now. I get very excited. And then you unlock Dudley, who is your fun old man who's like, remember when you were a kid and I taught you how to fish? And you're like, no, thank you. I do actually really enjoy this aspect of like very slowly, like getting hints at your background of just things that happened. But then no one ever explains anything to you. So you're like, Dalton, please tell me what the carrot incident was. I need to know.
Yeah, he's such a tease. He's just like, oh, yeah, you remember that time that this happened? You know, like, oh, no, you don't. Oh, well, sorry.
He's like, well, that's fine. I still like you anyway. And you're like, Dalton, no, this I appreciate that you're reassuring me in our friendship, but also I need to know about this.
And Willow's similar in the I've gone on a date with Willow now, right? And and she's like, oh, I'm glad we're doing this. I can't remember exactly what it is, but she likes talks about basically our history, and I'm like, but you didn't actually tell me anything. Like, like, were we an item, or were we like, or is that like, what you're gonna tell me anything, or are you just gonna keep hinting?
It's well done, because like, it's not frustrating, or at least I don't feel like it's frustrating, because it's like, you're not being penalized in any way for not figuring out what happened in your past or anything, but it is just kind of fun because it's just. It always comes across as like so playful and fun of just this character is going to tell you a little something about yourself, but not enough for it to matter. I really like the way that's done. I love the premise of this game.
Yeah, it's really nice. So it's obviously not the first game to deal with amnesia. But I think, I think it does it in a really nice way where actually the, unless you found something that I haven't, the story doesn't really matter. You're just kind of finding out aspects of yourself and your relationship with these people and, you know, getting new relationships with other people, and you find out a few bits and pieces, but it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, like, it's something like that very much, you can take it, you can leave it, and you're not penalized either way. It's just fun. It's just fun. I like it a lot. It's fun. So when it comes to people, okay, so you have skills, right? And every time you do an action, you get experience points and it levels you up. And friendship works the same way. Every time you talk to somebody, every time you hang out with somebody, you essentially get experience points in Willow and you level up your relationship, which I think is a fun little mechanic. Most days you can talk to people, you can compliment people, you can flirt with people sometimes, you can go on a date with Willow if you have access to the port city DeLuca, which I did not at the time.
Oh, no. What happens if that, do you just not get to do it? Is the date set up and then you just can't do it?
Yeah. Oh. So basically the date happened and I was like, let's go on our date. And she's like, wonderful, let's go to DeLuca. And I was like, what?
Oh, disaster.
And so I guess we just hung out for the day and didn't do anything and didn't go on a date, but
I don't think you would have got the dialogue from that bit then, because she only starts saying that when you get to DeLuca. You have a little cutscene and there's a little bit of fun hints.
I'm so disappointed in myself. What I'm saying is, listeners, please upgrade your balloon soon.
Yeah.
ASAP.
I'm only three away from the final upgrade. So
I'm jelly beans. Also, you travel the world in a hot air balloon, which I think is delightful and charming.
Yeah.
But also, there's a road out of your town.
Is there anything, like, have you managed to do anything with this, or is it just completely unimplemented at this point in time?
You can't do anything. It doesn't do anything.
It's really annoying me. There aren't many negatives I have about this game, but I'm really frustrated about that road. Like, don't show me a road that I can't go down. I don't know why it's there. Is it just there to look good? Is it just there to world build and say, hey, yes, of course, there's a way to get out of this town, but you can't actually go there, because otherwise, how do people get into the town? Of course, they come up the road, but you're not allowed to go down the road.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, hopefully it's just unimplemented and there will be something coming. It's a tiny thing. I shouldn't be this annoyed about it, but But I'm annoyed.
Your one complaint about the game.
My one complaint.
You also unlock villagers as you play.
Oh yeah, you were going through the villagers, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them. Oh. Like, okay. Do you have a favorite villager so far?
I don't know. I like. Sorry, I was just laughing because I was half expecting you to say Willow. Because running joke.
I mean, I thought it, but I didn't say it. So.
I don't know. I feel a little bit hit on by, is it Buzz? Oh, what's it? The bird.
Bubsy,
yeah. I feel a little bit like they're trying to come on to me a bit hard, really. Come on, you just saw me on a date with Willow. Calm yourself. I like Laura. She's fun. She's really nice when I add things to the museum. Mm-hmm. I do like Lilith as well. I feel like she has a lot. I think she has a lot of interesting backstory behind her that hopefully we'll hear at some point. And I want to see some, I hope it comes at some point, some sort of resolution with how you meet her, if that makes sense. I'm trying not to give too much away because obviously, you know, this is not, I don't know what people are like in terms of who they...
Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the first time you meet Lilith. So the first time you meet her, she essentially gets fired from her job because she can't control her magic. She's a little witch, it's cute. And she gets fired from her job and kicked out. And you're like, that's so sad. Move to my town. We will love you there. She's very sweet.
Yeah.
I like that you kind of collect a little town of misfits.
Yeah, and basically everyone's like, oh, I don't have anywhere to go. And they're like, can I stay here? And you're like, yes. And they're like, oh, that's so kind. You even build me a house.
Yeah. I kind of love it. Like, especially like you have characters like Lilith and have you met Zana yet? I love Zana, who are basically like, people don't like us and think we're weird, but, you know, I feel welcomed and loved here. And I love that. And I'm like, I love you too. And then you have characters like Tarek. Have you met Tarek yet?
I have, yeah. Tarek. Yeah, he's interesting. I feel like he always wants to just battle with me. Well, like, just cami chops.
Well, what it is that he used to be a knight, and now you defeated the Dark Wizard, and there's no monsters for him to protect people from anymore. So he's, like, just trying to figure it out. And he's like, you know, this is weird, but I think I kind of like it here. And I'm like, Tarek, my heart. All of these characters, I love them so much.
Look, if Tarek wants to slay some monsters, I found some in the cavern, right? That would make my life easier. Go slay those monsters.
I mean, are they monsters, though?
Yes. Maybe, they attack me.
Maybe they're just creatures defending themselves because you're invading their home. Yeah.
I think the only one I've not met yet is Maximilian.
I also have not met Maximilian, so we'll see. So that's a pretty broad overview. I think we covered a lot.
We did.
Probably more than we needed to.
Probably.
So, like we said, this game isn't finished yet, but it should be soon. I really enjoy it so far. You seem to really enjoy it so far.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 8, how much would you recommend this game to our listeners?
So there's recommending just now, there's recommending on this platform, and there's just recommending in general, right?
Yes.
I would recommend that if you're a Switch person, if you enjoy playing things on the Switch, definitely wait for the Switch version. I think this game should work really well on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well with the keyboard. I never need to use my mouse, so I think that will work really well with the controllers. We'll see. So if you're a Switch person and you don't want to buy the game twice, I would wait for the Switch version because it's not going to be that long, and if you're wanting to wait for the game to be, quote, finished, then you're probably going to be waiting roughly that sort of time anyway. So I would say wait if you want that. If you want to buy it on both, then definitely go for it now. You said scale of 1 to 8. 8, definitely. Great game. Possibly might be my favourite farming game. I love it. It's great.
Fantastic. What about you? Sorry.
What about you?
9. 9 out of 8. Perfect score. Oof. Play this game.
Wow.
I love it so much. You don't even know.
It's good. I like it.
9 out of 8.
9 out of 8. Oh, I tell you, right? So when Willow gives you the blueprint for the hot air balloon, she's like, oh, you better take me on it one day.
And you do.
I do.
Oh, I love everything about this game. So it's so charming. It's got so much personality and it's so charming and everyone should play this. And you know what you should do after you play this?
Play it again.
No. Oh. You should tweet at us.
Ah.
At THSPod.
THSPod.
Or email us.
The Harvest Season.
At the website. Harvest Season. Harvest Season. Dot. Club. I'm going to learn enunciation someday. Or you can tweet at Al.
You can tweet me at the Scott Bot. That's Scott with one T. And the with one T and bot with one T. Every word in that has one T.
Only one.
One each.
For that perfect 3T combo.
3 T's. TTT.
Glad that was a T. You could tweet about it to me at Miss Delaney with 2 L's. But not in Miss. There's not one in Miss and one in Delaney. There's 2 in Delaney. And until next time.
Have a good harvest.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah.
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, theharvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening.
I tell you something, right? I feel like Mel wants to be in a relationship with Dalton, and Dalton is just so... Was it Mel? I think it was Mel. And Dalton is just so in space that he just doesn't realize.
I actually think it's really cute. So, like, the characters will talk about,
Mel?
Like...
I think it was Mel.
Having cute little crushes. Like, Tarek clearly has a crush on Laura. And Zana has some really cute commentary about just, like, definitely has a crush on you. It's very cute. I think I've said this in Slack, but, like, it's so adorable. She's like, you in orc culture, usually you give a dead animal as a gift of affection. So what I'm saying is, like, do you have any that are off limits for you? Like, and I'm just like, oh, sweetheart. You're adorable. You're trying.
Yeah, just, you know, don't kill my cow.
But please don't kill my sheep. We didn't even mention animals.
Oh, disaster. There are animals. There we go. I'll put that in the post-credits. We'll talk about them in a future episode, probably.
We will.